CD of Chernobyl, Fukushima and Onkolo by calling 1-707-463-2654. And I will repeat that number in a moment. TUC Radio is free to all radio stations and depends on the support of listeners like you. Your donation or CD order keeps this program on the air. Call anytime at 707-463-2654 for information on how to order. You can get your CD by mail or credit card by phone or online on TUC Radio's secure website, tucradio.org. My name is Maria Gelarden. Thank you for listening. Give us a call.
Are you looking for a better tomorrow? A tomorrow where you can have a step up on what the future holds for you? Then look no further than Mary's Psychic Shop. A seer with more than 45 years' experience of helping others, Psychic Mary opens your eyes by unlocking your future and putting the past behind you through her palm, tarot card, crystal ball, and water readings. As such, Psychic Mary can assist you with problems of marriage, separation, love, money, career, and sexual issues, as well as problems with your health, divorce, depression, and addiction. With Psychic Mary, your problem is her problem. She will be with you from the beginning through to the middle and end of your issues. Call Psychic Mary today at 519-915-9351 to look into your future. That's Psychic Mary at 519-915-9351.
This is Sharon Jones of Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, and you're listening to CJAM in Windsor, Ontario.
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
That's right. I'm your host, Big JD. You're listening to CJM 99.1 FM. Sharon R. Murphy has worked as a licensed nursing home administrator executive director for over 20 years. Her homes have been recognized as award-winning. Currently licensed in three states, Sharon has authored Nursing Home Confidential, an insider's guide to navigating the nursing home industry, and here to discuss nursing homes, their practices, and to offer some advice, please welcome Sharon Murphy to You Talking to Me. Hello, Sharon.
Hi, Big JD.
It's great to have you on the show. You've been in healthcare for a pretty long time, and what got you interested in that field prior to pursuing that career?
Well, I actually had graduated from college with a degree in rehabilitation, which is more psychological, and ended up being a social worker in a local nursing home, and that's how I started, was as a social service person.
Okay.
And then I decided to go and get my administrator's license.
Wow. And I've often wondered, is it a certain type of a person usually that gets involved in this type of care? I think that I guess one would need to be very passionate about others to caregive. I wouldn't think that someone just kind of gets into that career just as a job.
Well, I think that whoever gets into the job has to have some kind of commitment for quality of care for the elderly population. Some people like to work with children or other developmentally disabled persons and or elderly. I mean, it's just a certain segment of the population.
Right. And so there must be some key decisions, obviously, to make when, you know, a loved one, a parent, grandparent maybe, can no longer live alone. What are some of these decisions that people are faced with?
Well, it's usually safety. Usually safety, you know, someone leaves the stove on or the door open, or if someone has dementia, they might be wandering. Mm-hmm. You know, they might go outside and not know how they got from point A to point B.
Right.
Those are certain things. There are other things that people might end up in a nursing home because they have a fall and end up in the hospital with a fractured hip or a fractured knee, and consequently they might need rehab. I mean, some people will go to the nursing home for a short-term rehabilitation stay, while others, it's more of long-term.
Right. And I also want to ask you about adult children taking care of their parents who should maybe be in a home where, you know, better care can be provided for them and round the clock. You know, what's your take on I guess, you know, kids that try at least to take care of their parents at home when they maybe should have better care?
Well, I think, people are living longer. So you might have a parent who is in their 90s. And the children might be in their 70s. So certainly they have some limitations. I think that, you know, most people want to stay in their own home. And now there's been a big initiative of what they call Money Follows the Person, which is federally subsidized to keep people in their home. And the states will come in and they will supply caregivers, and the people can stay in their own homes with support staff or personal care attendants. There's a number of different programs that are out there in the hopes to keep somebody in their home, mm-hmm. which will eventually cost the state and the federal government less money rather than paying for 24-hour nursing care in the nursing home.
Now, you bring up some interesting points there when you mentioned that...
Sorry.
That's okay. You bring up some interesting points. When you mentioned that people are living longer and you might have parents in their 90s and kids in their 70s, how often might you see the older children maybe having to go into a nursing home, even possibly before the parents?
Sure, that's a possibility. And what's happening now is the baby boomers are now reaching 65. They're the leading edge of the baby boomers. And what's happening is sometimes baby boomers are needing a hip replacement or a knee replacement. I mean, they're just worn. Mm-hmm. And so people will go to a nursing home or a rehabilitation center, and they'll receive intensive therapy for a short period of time. So you can see a younger population, especially in the rehabilitation centers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the geriatric long-term care, you go there and you're just going to live there and pass away in a nursing home. They're much more dynamic now, especially now that the younger population, because the baby boomers have different expectations too,
mm-hmm.
than their parents' generation.
Right. Yeah, and actually, a little later in the show, I want to get into more about the baby boomers and some of the things that they'll have to worry about. In mentioning about, you know, the kids possibly taking care of the parents, in-home care, is that something that, you know, maybe helps to not overpopulate nursing homes? Are there, you know, things in place for that offer help for taking care of your parents at home as opposed to putting them in a home?
Yes, that's a good question. There's home health agencies are springing up and becoming much more popular because now with the push to keep the elderly population in the home, obviously you need services in the community, whether it be companions or nursing assistants to help with bathing or feet or dressing.
Right.
And or nursing services. Maybe somebody has a wound that needs to be dressed.
So are these
along with physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, all these things are going to be needed in the community.
Right. Are you finding that these things are becoming more popular, possibly for courses, school courses?
Yes, definitely. Definitely. And I've really been thinking about the fact that college students, what do they want when they get out of college? Well, mm-hmm. I think they want a job.
Right.
Well, there's a number of different areas in the elderly population. It doesn't have to be a nursing home, which can have a negative stigma. It can be out in the community. It could be clinics. It could be all different kinds of things, working with the geriatric population and giving that 78, there's going to be 78 million baby boomers. There's certainly going to be a lot of people that will need service.
Right. So these things, we'll definitely see these become even more popularized, I guess, as far as education's concerned, for people to work not only in the nursing home, but in people's houses, people's homes, I guess.
Sure, mm-hmm. sure. People's homes or different organizations that are going to support the people staying home.
Right. Tell us about some of the, and I think you just recently sort of touched on this, but tell us about some of the signs that we need to be concerned with. I mean, if a parent's been falling or memory loss and things like that, what are some of the things to look for when, you know, it may be time to, you know, get an opinion or possibly, you know, have to get care for these people?
If there are not enough support services in the community, then what you probably are going to do is you're going to look for a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way to start doing that is to get on the internet. You can go to a website called www.medicare.gov/NHCompare. That means nursing home compare.
Mm-hmm.
And you can put in your zip code or your city, and it will pull up all the nursing homes in that area.
Okay.
What the federal government has done is they've assigned stars to those nursing homes, and it goes from 1 to 5, 1 being the least amount of stars, 5 the best.
Mm-hmm.
And they're rated on criteria like staffing. One other thing that they're rated on is deficiencies. Every home has to be inspected and go through a survey process at least within 15 months annually.
Okay.
And those deficiencies are posted on that website. Along with that, they have what is called quality indicators or quality measures. And those are things like pressure sores or bed sores. There are things like who has declined in being able to function with their ADLs. There's a number of different criteria, and those things are all rated. So between those three categories, then the star system comes up. And like I said, 5 stars is rated the best.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where somebody could first start. Then what they would want to do is they'd want to go visit it. You go and visit the nursing home that you think you might be interested. And when you go in there, trust what your gut is saying. I mean, you can look and see if the grounds are well tended, because you don't want to go someplace where it's all overgrown, because how are they taking care of the residents? When you walk in the door, there should be no smell. There should be no odors in there. And also, what you want to do is look at the residents when you get a tour. Are they well tended? Are their clothes clean? Are their fingernails done? Is their hair done? Do they have, you know, are they groomed well? Do they look good? And are they seating? Are they sitting upright and not just like slouched over sleeping?
Right, sure.
You know, when you go for that initial tour, you want to make sure that, you know, there's activities that are being offered to residents.
Mm-hmm.
You want to look at the menu that's posted. Maybe you want to go to when there's a mealtime and you can look at the food. Does it look appealing?
Right.
Because if it doesn't look appealing to you, it might not be appealing to your loved one either. You want to see how long it takes for somebody to answer a call bell. You know, everybody has a buzzer in their room. And if you see one ringing or hear it and nobody goes and answers it, those should be answered. Just keep an eye on things. Do it during your tour.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing you might want to do is call up your local clergy or social service or physicians, any local agency, even volunteer organizations go into nursing homes. Volunteers go into a bunch of different nursing homes, and they'll be able to tell you. So see if you can get information from people that might go into different nursing homes in the area.
Right.
Those three things are very important.
Okay, and those are what you generally speak of as the musts for choosing. And
yes.
You also talk about important musts for paying for nursing home.
Yes, most of the there's three main ways that people are paid. If somebody ends up in the hospital and has a three-day qualifying stay, they're there three midnights, then Medicare will pick up will pay for that as part of Medicare Part A, as long as the person requires skilled services. Now, if they require skilled services and they come into the nursing home, for the first 1 to 20 days, Medicare will pick up the whole amount of money. From the 21st to the 100th day, Medicare will pick up 80% and require a copay of $142.50.
Okay.
So, or $141.50. Anyways, so after the 100 day, though, then what? And meanwhile, you have to require that skilled service. If somebody plateaus and they're not making any progress and they don't really need skilled services by definition, then the person might get a denial letter saying that the facility doesn't feel that they require skilled services anymore. They can appeal that if they choose to.
Mm-hmm.
And but Medicare, that's the Medicare portion. Then the other major funding source is almost through a welfare system or Medicaid, and they call it different things in different states.
Right.
And that is people that have run out of funds, and they just don't have the money. So the state pays in combination with the federal government for their stay. And then the other thing is private pay. People pay for their own private funds. And then the third would be long-term care insurance.
Okay.
So those are the main sources of payment.
Right. And we should mention that that's based in the United States, of course, and there may be similar things available in our area, although we cater to U.S. and Canada and online to the world. You are speaking specifically of the U.S. So
I am. Mm-hmm. I am. I mean, I actually have done some consulting for someone in Sri Lanka.
Oh, yeah.
Who wants to open a more of an assisted living, which is a brand new concept in these countries that are just developing, because what's happened is the families who used to take care of all the elderly parents are now becoming more mobile and wanted to go live in the city and or working full time, so they're not there to take care of their parents
right, like
they used to be. So this is just starting in those countries.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back to speaking more with Sharon Murphy on the nursing home industry. We'll be back right after this.
You're listening to You Talking to Me with Big JD on CJAM 99.1 FM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit.
Do you have an interesting career? You have an interesting life experience to share with others? If you'd like to be a guest on You Talking to Me, contact me, Big JD, at the You Talking to Me website. That's youtalkingtome.ca. The letter U, talking, the number two, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
The summer holidays are almost here, and CNC Collision reminds all motorists that with our children's newfound freedom comes added responsibility for all of us who drive. More than any other time of year, we need to be extra cautious near playgrounds, crosswalks, and in residential areas. Please slow down and drive defensively whenever you see children, and help make this summer a safe one. A message from CNC Collision, 245 Talbot Street South, Essex. An area business that cares about the community they serve.
Okay, we're back. You're listening to CJM 99.1 FM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit. And I'm talking to Sharon Murphy, who is a licensed nursing home administrator, executive director, and we're talking about the nursing home industry. And I want to ask you, what about those who are put in the homes? Do they resent their children, or you know, do a lot of them realize that they need to be there? What types of reactions have you seen?
Actually, I think it's both. It's mixed.
Yeah,
there are people that know that they can't stay home, and maybe they feel isolated at home. So when they get to a long-term care facility, there's more socialization, there's music, there's other people to talk with, and so they're not as isolated. Then there are other people that, I want to go home. Or
sure.
If somebody has dementia, and they can't understand why they're no longer safe.
Let's talk about industry regulations. Do they change a lot?
They have changed over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing this for over 20 years.
Right.
And they definitely have changed. And what is happening now is that the whole industry is going from much more of a institutional to more of a person-centered kind of culture and a culture change, so that the individual preferences are much more in the forefront. And I think that that's only going to continue. I think that's the only way to go, because people, as they're entering, they want their individual needs. They don't want to be told, okay, breakfast is at this time, and that's when you have to have it, and that's it.
Right, okay.
They want choices. And like I said, the baby boomers are used to having what they want. And so I think it's going to become more and more person-centered. There are programs out there, the Greenhouse Project being one of them, that is 7 or 8 rooms that are attached. They call them houses, but mm-hmm. they're not. They're just rooms with their own individual bathroom, and then it enters, it's like a spoke, and it goes into a kitchen area, a living area, and I think they all have fireplaces. I'm not positive on that. And then they have different people will be the caregivers won't necessarily be a nurse's aide, but it will be a caregiver that also will help cook the meal, that'll help with the laundry kind of thing. It's much more of a social model
mm-hmm.
than a medical model. And I think that that is the way, because it's so much more individualized than having the large institutional setting.
Right. Now, this is something I think is very important, and that's speaking up to protect your loved ones who might be in a nursing home. How do we ensure optimal care and, you know, quality of life for those that we put in a home, especially if we think things should be different for them, and, you know, the people that may have put them there feel that they may risk, you know, retribution from the nursing home for the way that, you know, they think they should be cared for, maybe?
Right. I can't emphasize enough that you are your best advocate for your loved one in a nursing home.
Right.
Sometimes the squeaky wheel is definitely the one that gets taken care of. You know, the staff, if you let the staff know what your expectations are, they may not be happy all the time when you come in, but you're not really, you're looking to get the most for your loved one and
mm-hmm.
make sure that they get the best care. I mean, certainly I always act professional, and you should be respectful as far as, you know, maybe the first time you want to talk with the charge nurse on the wing or ask about this. But if you continually come in and mom is slumped over in her chair with food all over her and you're not getting any results there, then go and talk with the social worker and or the director of nurses or the administrator. Or you can also call your local ombudsman. There is an ombudsman program in every state. And those people are there to help families navigate to make sure that their loved ones are getting the best care.
Right.
The other thing is that I have canvassed other colleagues, and I have not seen retribution. Usually when the family member, the nurse's aides are not into taking it out on the family member. They aren't. And I think people shouldn't worry that that will happen, although people are worried about that. And you know what, when my father was in a nursing home, I wanted to talk with the administrator and the director of nurses, and my brother was saying to me, don't make waves.
Right.
But how will anything change unless you express your concerns or tell them about what Dad did. My father was up at night for a long time, and they were trying to medicate him so he would sleep at night. Well, he had always been up at night,
mm-hmm.
you know, taking short naps. That was his normal baseline. Who knows that? The family members know that.
Yeah, you say some shocking things happened to your own father in a nursing home. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, my father ended up in a nursing home out of state, mm-hmm. down near where my brother was. And he was losing weight, and he wasn't getting physical therapy. He was being fed, where prior to that, prior to minor surgery, he had been eating himself. So I went down. I had done all the investigating I could over the internet and calling other colleagues and asking about nursing homes and the Alzheimer's Association, and I thought we had a good nursing home. I went down and visited, and my father was not walking. Physical therapy had been discontinued, and he was being fed.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Dad, pick up your spoon and eat." And he did.
Yeah.
And I met with the director and I met with the administrator and said, why is he not getting physical therapy? I mean, he was on Medicare, and that's a reason requiring physical therapy services. And they said, because he wasn't following commands. And I said, well, have you looked at his medication? Prior to him coming to this nursing home, he was on none. And now he has so much medication, he's drooling.
Yep.
So when I got back here, they called, the director of nurses called, and she said, oh, yeah, well, we're now giving him physical therapy again. I said, great. Well, then he developed a bed sore, and he was being kept in bed.
Okay.
So I said to my brother, you better get him up here. And he made arrangements to fly up here with my father.
Mm-hmm.
I had called down there and said, make sure you give him some medication, because the pressure area was on his coccyx where he was sitting. And he was going to be in an airplane. Okay, I will. I'll make sure he has something. They never give him anything.
Wow.
Comes to my nursing home, malnourished, bed sore, not walking. He gained probably 17 pounds in 3 months at my place. And then he started walking again. Now, prior to him going to the hospital, he had an unsteady gait. He wobbled.
Mm-hmm.
The physical therapist at my place didn't necessarily want to let him off therapy, but when he was put in a chair, they had a seatbelt on him, and he did not want to be belted in a chair.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, and I'd take him for a walk every afternoon. I'd say, come on, let's go take a walk, and less I had to assist him at all. And I finally said to the physical therapist, this is the way he was before. We need to let him go. And do you know, for a year after, he was independent in his ambulation. But
right.
Had I not fought for that, of course, being the boss didn't hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that may not have happened. And so for a year, he was independent. Another example is he didn't have his teeth in. And this was in my nursing home. And I said, why aren't his teeth in? He had false teeth. And they said, oh, he didn't really want to put them in. I said, well, why don't you give them to me? And I went in and I said, you know, come on, let's put your teeth in. And he did.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple days later, I said to the nurse, hey, so is it easier now to take his teeth in and out? Dead silence. She hadn't taken them out, you know.
Wow.
So, you know, these are things that only a family member, I would never have known that.
Sure.
Being the administrator. I wasn't watching somebody's teeth.
Definitely important to speak up. That's for sure.
It is.
I want to ask you quickly, we're just about out of time here. I got a couple more things that I want to ask you. And one is definitely, what do the baby boomers most need to be concerned with?
What do they most need to be concerned with?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that if they do require some kind of nursing facility, that they do their homework and they make sure that their needs are being met and that they're not afraid to ask for that.
Right. Because that's going to be another boom, I guess, hitting the nursing homes at some point.
Sure. Sure it is.
And I want you to tell us about your book.
Well, I think you already mentioned that it's Nursing Home Confidential, an insider's guide to navigating the nursing home industry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a how-to book,
okay.
But also my father's story is interwoven in it. And there are vignettes,
good.
True stories, in the beginning of every chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And in the back of the book, there is a checklist for people who might need to go to a nursing home to help them be able to evaluate the nursing home that they're visiting.